Shalom, this is Billy Brim in the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. We're starting a study on the book of Revelation. I do invite you to listen to the radio archives to get Monday's broadcast when we talk about how God has led me into teaching on the book of Revelation. It is, as we said yesterday, not the revelation of St. John the Divine, as it is so titled in the King James, but it is what the first line of the book says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which it is the revelation of Jesus. Bullinger said, the unveiling, revealing, and presentation to earth and heaven of the Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Larkin said, it is also unveiling those events that precede and accompany His return to earth. We said yesterday that the word apokalypsis it's a Greek word. Apo means to take from, and kalypsis is mean cover, to uncover. It comes from a root word for veil, to uncover, to unveil the Lord Jesus Christ and those things that must. Revelation 1 says, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, that would be us, things which must shortly come to pass. We need to know. You and I need to know, and we're trusting God to reveal things to us even as we studied. He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. John was the apostle John. He was the apostle that couldn't be killed. He was the apostle that's known for love. Even they boiled him in oil and they could not kill him. Tertullian, the second century theologian, writes, in the Prescription Against Heretics, chapter 36, he's arguing with some people who are arguing against the gospel. And he tells them, you live near Italy. Go down and see the places where Peter and Paul were put to death and where they attempted to put John to death. Now here, I'm going to read you exactly from Tertullian's words. Since, moreover, you are close upon Italy, you have Rome, from which there comes even into our own hands the very authority, and he means of the apostles. How happy is its church on which apostles poured forth all their doctrine along with their blood, where Peter endures a passion like his Lord's. These are my words. Peter was crucified upside down. He said he wasn't fit to die like his Lord, and he asked to be put upside down. Now these are Tertullian's words. He invites them to go to Rome, quote, where Paul wins his crown in a death like John's. My words, Paul was beheaded as John the Baptist had been beheaded. And then he closes this paragraph with Tertullian, where the Apostle John was first plunged unhurt into boiling oil and thence remitted to his island exile. They could not kill him, so they put him in exile on the Isle of Patmos. And there he is bearing record, Revelation 1:2, of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. John saw all these things. Then in the third verse, blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. It is a prophecy, and a blessing is commanded upon those who hear it. Revelation 1:3. Weymouth reads, blessed is he who reads, and blessed are those who listen to the words of this prophecy and lay it to heart, what is written in it, for the time for its fulfillment is now close at hand. Blessing. What is blessing? Psalm 115:12 reads, 13 and 14, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. The comments on the art scrolls Tehillim by a Hebrew sage is, these words provide a most accurate description of bracha, blessing. Blessing means increase and abundance, whereas the closest definition of klala, curse, is decrease and loss. So we are promised, anyone who will read this book, anyone who will hear this book is promised an increase, a blessing. So let us claim a blessing for these weeks that we study this book of Revelation. Let's ask God, as in Ephesians 1, to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation as we study, expecting an increase from the one who gave this revelation and promised the blessing. It is called in this third verse, blessed are those who read, hear, and keep the words of this prophecy. This book of Revelation is prophecy. God has chosen that his holy written word be more than one half prophecy. Some people say two thirds. Much of this prophecy of the book has been fulfilled. This book, the book of Revelation, is about to be fulfilled. God's litmus test for being God is that one can tell the end from the beginning. He spoke to some people in Isaiah 41, and he said, "Who are you? If you think you're something, some kind of a God, you tell us what's going to happen before it happens, but you can't do it." And then God gave that litmus test of being God, that you can tell the end from the beginning. Those references are Isaiah 41, verses 8, 9, 11, 12, 22, 23, and 26. And you'll see God's litmus test for being the real, true God. In the book of Revelation, God shows us the beginning from the end. In the book of Revelation, we will find that God's first thoughts are also his last. He holds to them. And I'm reading to you now from comments from the Numerical Bible on the book of Revelation. God himself identifies himself as the first and the last, we'll see that, the living and unchanging one, who abides to carry out his purposes according to his own unchanging nature. Thus, it is no wonder if when we reach the end to which the book of Revelation brings us, we find that we are once more contemplating the beginning. The beginning is now seen from the end. You know, God said to be a true prophet, one must, to be a true God, one must tell the end from the beginning. And now we are at the ending and we are looking at the beginning. We'll see a great correlation between the book of Genesis, what we call Genesis, God's name for it is in the beginning, and the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here we're going to see things that we saw in that book. We're going to see the tree of life. We're going to see the river. We're going to see things that were introduced in Genesis. And then we're going to see how it comes out. This is prophecy. And it is the revolution of time brings us back to contemplate the old beginning so as to show that it has not been forgotten. We are now above it, not on the same plane, and thus we can discern how prophecy should spring out of history, the event being always larger than the type, because God's law is always one of enlargement and progress. Adam was in the primal garden, but here we confront and we find out the last Adam. Come back. This is a prophecy, and therefore it is in connection with prophecy everywhere in the Bible. The great principle of the interpretation of the book is just that which was announced by the apostle himself of the true interpretation of any prophecy. That which is new in it always has a connection with what has gone before. The prophecy of the New Testament with that of the Old, which if it cannot anticipate it, yet leaves, as we have already seen, a gap for it. The only preparation, therefore, for the examination of the book of Revelation is by seeking to have before us the general scope of prophecies elsewhere. Peter, in the New Testament, gives us the source and key to correct interpretation of Bible prophecy, and Revelation is a book of Bible prophecy. 2 Peter 1:19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. He's speaking of the Old Testament prophets. That's the only Bible they had in Peter's time. He said, I've been on the Mount of Transfiguration. I heard the voice from heaven. But we have a more sure word of prophecy, that which is written, the Propheticos, the Old Testament prophets. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise, in your hearts knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The book of Revelation must abide to the rule of all Bible prophecy. It cannot stand alone. It cannot stand just on its own. It cannot have a private interpretation. It has to be considered with the whole book of prophecy from the beginning, Genesis, to the last of this book, the book of Revelation. All prophecy must harmonize, and the book of Revelation must harmonize with the whole body of Scripture. And we do see that it does indeed so harmonize. In the book of Revelation, we're going to find that a part of it is directed directly to the church, but a part of it definitely has to do with Israel. Some people so misunderstand the book of Revelation because they leave Israel out of it. Reading to you from the Numerical Bible. We must not merge Israel and the church, or forget even the purposes of God as to the earth, in higher and heavenly ones. The true revelation to interpret prophecy can only be found, therefore, by having before one the great promises of God, remembering how he challenges every thought of Israel's undoing, especially with regard to Israel, his people. Jeremiah 31, 35, and 36 says that as long as there's a sun, a moon, and a stars, there'll be a nation of Israel. And then when he talks about the new heavens and the new earth in Isaiah 66, 22, he talks about Israel's being a part of it. Thus, an interpretation of Revelation, which practically, if not theoretically, leaves Israel out, cannot have the needed largeness, cannot give us the mind of God. So we're going to see as we look into this book of Revelation that in the parts that have to do with Israel, in the parts that have to do with the nations upon the earth, the church is in heaven. This is going to be something we need to know. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:32 and see that scriptures can be addressed to three groups of peoples, the Jews, the nations, and the church, and this is necessary for a correct interpretation of the book of Revelation. This is Billy Brim at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. You can go online and find us at billybrim.org. We'll see you tomorrow.